Okay, we are going to study this Psalm 98 and 99. Chapter 98, please. Chapter 98. There are only 9 verses. Actually, chapter 98, chapter 99, both have 9 verses. This Psalm, Psalm 98, has a little simple title, a psalm. Does not have any explanation. Like a Psalm 96, it speaks of a praise to God for his work of salvation in widening circle. First Israel, then all the earth, and finally all creation. From this psalm, 17th century British hymn writer Isaac Watt wrote a hymn. Can you guess? Come on, you guys are good at with the Bible trivia. From this Psalm 98, Isaac Watt wrote a hymn. Joy to the World. Yeah, Joy to the World. And a lot of people categorize it as a Christmas carol. Because Joy to the World, and goes on and let everyone prepare room in their heart. Am I correct? So they connect that with the Christmas time. There is no room at the inn. So they connect it with the Christmas carols. Actually, it is not Christmas music. When you listen to the song lyrics, especially in the fourth stanza, it says that he ruled the world with the truth and grace. Little baby Jesus did not rule the world with the grace and truth. What? Nothing? Okay. So, obviously, this was not about the first advent. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's about the messianic kingdom, not in the manger. This psalm was written to praise the Lord for a great victory over Israel's enemy. It's very hard to do inductive, you know, to be honest with you, it was a hard chapter to do the inductive Bible study. Did you notice that when you prepared this? Because it was not directly connected with any of the actual event. It was not the story. It was just song. It was a psalm. By the way, in case you don't know, psalm means song. And it's hard to digest a song in inductive manner. But we are going to do it anyway. All right, starting with what's the first step of inductive Bible study after we finish the reading? Huh? We pray and read, and then what? Observation, exactly. So we go into the observation. What do we do with the observation? 5 W's and 1 H, right? Do we have any outline note? We are out. See what happened when you come late? No, he's fine. You got it. Is that a sermon outline note? Is there some?
Yeah, or okay. An observation.
Okay. Is that 2 pages? Do you have 2 pages? Can you make a copy for each one of them, please? Yeah, 10 cents per copy. All right, first one. Who? 2 1 pages? Make a few extras.
Just make 5, makes it easier.
It's all right. I'm sorry, say that again. No.
No, it isn't.
It's not. Okay. Who wrote this book? We don't know. The author of this psalm, and the author is speaking to the people of Israel about the God of Israel. Okay? Second step of 5W1H is what? What? Right? God's awesome victory over their people, perhaps a victory over the Medes and Persia, over Babylon, and that lead to the return of Jewish exiles to their land. And you may say, well, how come you didn't put that thing in here? So you can write them down for change. Do you want me to read it slowly? Okay. God's awesome victory over their enemies. That's what for. God's awesome victory over their enemies. Third W is where. We don't know. Somewhere probably most likely in Israel. Fourth W is when. Again, we don't know the exact time. It's some time after the exiles returned to Israel. Fifth W is Y. The Lord is good and He deserves our praise. Why? The Lord is good and He deserves our praise. Okay. How? As you noticed, how is sing, shout, play instrument. Page 1 and 2 almost look identical, but they are not the same.
Yeah, so I got it.
Dana, do you still have one page? How is a sing, shout, play the instrument? And author use anthropomorphism. Remember that long lettering words? Trying to describe the things, nature things in human way. Like here, God has arms, God has hands, and river sings, and hills is joyful. Putting everything in human term. All right, outlining. I divided into three for the nine verses. Three verses for each. A marvelous salvation, verse 1 through 3. Joyous celebration, verse 4 through 6. And glorious expectation, 7 through 9. May I change the slide? Not yet? All right, interpretation. Let's go study the verse 1. And the first portion of this study is a marvelous salvation. A psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Note those two words. New songs. For He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory. The Lord has made known His salvation, His righteousness, and He has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the end of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Stop there, please. So, here's annoying questions. As Bill said, what can you interpret from these three verses? It's a talk back time. Come on. Let's start with Bill. Salvation, okay. What kind, since you mentioned salvation for who? Talk louder, huh? Righteous nation. Can you make it more specific? House of Israel. Very good. All right. Then I asked you to underline new song. Notice the new song. What kinds of new song are you talking about? What kind of song? Jazz. Of course, jazz applies for everything. Yeah. What kinds of new song? Would that be praise and worship songs? Yes. Not pertaining any other social songs. It's a praise songs for God. Correct. Not just in singing the old songs they had, like Exodus 15 songs, or the Psalms written by King David. And the psalmist saying, let's come up with the new songs so we can praise the Lord according to our heart now this time. All right? Songs from the heart. Very good. Why did they need to sing a new song to the Lord? Why? Let's make an obvious reason. Okay? In their salvation is what kind of salvation? Everybody hearing? Good answer. Salvation is not necessarily spiritual things only, but also physical things. They've been under the persecution of Persian kingdoms and the Medes, and before that is Babylon kingdom. They were set free. They came back to their own land without anybody telling them what to do, when to go to sleep. Like our grandkid. When they come to our, especially the older one, he think he can stay up until midnight because mommy and daddy's not around and push over nanny and papa's around. Yes. You know, hymns, let me look at it this way. Hymns are good. The hymns we sing has a deep theology. We can relate some of them, but Not always. And when we come up with the new songs, when we get to know the new songs, we can relate more because it's not the end thou's using the word of the end thou, some of the old hymns, but it's our style language, so we can relate easier. So modern day songs, we can relate. That's why it is important for us to have a new songs. All right, another question. Salvation mentioned in verse 2 and 3. Is that the same salvation as the salvation in Christ? 2 and 3. Let's go back to 2 and 3. The Lord has made known His salvation, His righteousness He has revealed in His sight, in the sight of nations. Verse 3. He has remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the end of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Stop there. Okay. Is that the salvation in Jesus Christ? Good. Excellent point. Excellent point. The focus in this section is on the Jewish people and the wonderful new demonstration of God's power they had seen. It was so great that it demanded a new praise and worship songs from the people. The idea of a new song is found in many places in the scripture, including Revelation 5:9 and 14:3. As you remember the book of Revelation, there is a new song only the saint can understand. Remember that portion? If it was sung to the unbelievers, they would not be able to understand. Actually, some of the songs while we sing, if you sing that in front of the unbelievers, they will look at you like, are you from space? What kind of language is that? They don't understand. Not necessarily tongue, but we don't use the same words what typical average unbelievers would use, like a redemption. We use the word and we understand the meaning of the redemption. For unbelievers, they don't get it. Or such a phrase, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that will gross out many unbelievers. All right? Speaking of singing praise and worship songs, I want you to notice the sequence in verse 1. Let's go back to verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him victory. Okay. First one, we see this, let's sing to the Lord a new song, followed by, for He has done marvelous things. Because He has done marvelous things. So which one would be the first one? Come on, talk back to me. Which one is the first one? Singing a song first or He has done wonderful things? Okay. Somehow in our mind, we are so used to with the order of the church. That's wrong. Did I get the right one? No, I got the wrong slide. We are so used with the order of our church service. We sing praise and worship song first, then followed by the listening sermon from the Word of God. If that order is correct, it's easy for us to think that we have to make an initiation to get blessings from God. I say no, 1,000 times no. Our God never stops in blessing us, whether we know it or not. In reality, it is God who initiates everything toward us, and we are only responders to what He already has done for us in praise and worship songs. Are you with me on that? So if you don't sing praise and worship, it will be like, have you ever experienced little children? They get something from you and don't even bother to say thank you. So what do you say to them? Say thank you. Yeah, right? That's the same thing. We get something from many things, wonderful things from the Lord, through His hand, through His arms, but we don't say thank you often enough. The picture of God as a warrior disturbed those who seemed to forget the holy God cannot compromise with sin. They wanted to think that God is a God of love, nothing more. Don't ever forget that God is a God of love as well as God of holiness and righteousness. The cross declared that not only God loves sinners, but also God hates and opposes sins. Since God is spirit, he does not have a body, and so reference to his hand and arms are metaphorical. And what God did for Israel was witness to the Gentile nation and vivid demonstration of his faithfulness to his covenant and his love for his chosen people. Amen? All right, verse 4 through 6. Now we see the joyous salvation. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in songs. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with a harp, and with a harp and the sound of a psalm, with a trumpet and the sound of horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Stop there, please. Okay? What is your take on this? Be joyful. With, okay. What if you don't have a good voice? Okay? Psalm says, make a joyful. Does it say make a joyful, perfect pitch sound? If that's the case, majority of us are not qualified, right? All right? Does this mean that when we praise and worship the Lord, is it okay to sing out our heart? Okay? If so, why don't we do it? Why are we so reserved in worshiping our God, who is beyond good to us, but we go crazy for stupid ball games that means nothing in the future? Honest goodness, when I see some of you guys during the worship time, I like to go over there and slap you silly on the side of your head. Okay, then I will start that from this Sunday. We'll start with you. Yes, worship our life should be a worship. Not just singing songs. You live the life in such a way, it should be a worship. And when other people see, wow, there is the worshiper of God. And one of the things that I probably said this, but I'm going to say it again. One of the things that I do not get it in majority of American Christians, I don't know other Christian people much. Only people whom I crossed was Bulgarian Christians. With the exception of black brothers and sisters, it's like there's unwritten rules. In the church, you are not supposed to sing. Majority of people don't sing. Am I correct? No. If they want to, they can sing. It doesn't have to be on key. Yes, Manny. You know, the black Baptist church make the white Pentecostal church look like a dead church people. They know how to shake the ground.
They shake the ground.
My interruption.
Yes, sir.
Would be if she could give a testimony of what she witnessed while she was in Africa across the street from a mosque.
Okay, show testimony, please.
Okay, well, we went to Eastleigh, and that actually is a center hub in Nairobi, Kenya, for Al-Qaeda. So when we went, we met the pastor and his wives, and they ended up having to escort us down the street because everyone on the street was Muslim. And they walked us, all of the men of their church walked us on the middle in between them all the way down the street, and actually had situations where they had to talk to other gentlemen who were trying to approach us and be violent. So we all got into the church. This church was on the third floor of a building directly across the street from the mosque, the only mosque that was in that area. This is a really run-down area, but you have a very loud speaker that they call to worship at certain times every day. And so we were in the church, and a lot of the people that were there are Ethiopian, And not only do they sing at the top of their lungs and play music and drums, but they also jump while they're worshiping. And during that time, we were so loud that we drowned out the sound of the call to worship for the Islamic church. And it actually had some of the people coming up off the street to tell us that we needed to be quiet so that they could hear their call to worship. But it was a wonderful time to spend with our African brothers and sisters, to be able to see how they worship and how intense it is, because it is totally wholehearted. They use every ounce of energy that they have and every ounce of love that they have for the Lord, and they are not shy about it. You know, they know that where they are, they had threats of bombings, and they actually caught people with bombs trying to get into the church before. So they know that at any time they could die, but they worship the Lord with their whole heart, no matter what.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Listen to me, please. Spirit-filled saint is a song-filled saint. Animals cannot sing, neither can pew, pulpit, Bible, buildings. Only human can sing. Our song, regardless of how beautiful or how pitiful we may sound, is broadcast right into the heaven, where the God's antenna is always receptive. We often forget that we sing praise and worship songs for the audience of one. So please sing out loud. If it hurt the person sitting next to you, it's too bad. All right. Make a joyful noise of verse 4 and 6. Will meet us elsewhere as the spontaneous shout out and might greet the king or the moment of victory. It is worth translating shout out loud in the Zechariah 9:9. And there's a prophecy fulfilled in Palm Sunday. Let's go to Zechariah 9:9, please. There is Zechariah 9:9. Not Zephaniah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just, having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of donkey. All right. Next portion, verse 7 through 9, is a glorious expectation. Let the sea roar and its all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the river clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Verse 9, for he is coming to judge the earth with its righteousness, and he shall judge the world and the people with the equity. Okay? What is your interpretation here? Are you guys awake? What is your interpretation here for this three verses? Don't be shy on me. Excellent. And how about verse 9? Who is he coming to judge the earth? All right? The righteousness, he shall judge the world. And can you give me the time report for this? Timeline? When time period? When would that be? At the end? Second coming? Okay. In the ancient world, at present day, justice are rare. Judges were bribed and turned into ideologies. If you don't believe it, just look at some of the federal judges who are handing out the verdict nowadays. And prejudice. Idea of coming judgment with the equity was a great relief for those who often oppress and deny justice. Like that guy who raped a girl and he got the 6 months and got out. Where's justice? We shake our heads. Surely the writer of the psalm was looking beyond the mere local victory, because he wrote about the witness of the event to the nation in verse 2, to the earth in verse 3 and 4, and the world in verse 7 and 9. It appears that there's some point ahead of this, of the second coming of Jesus Christ and his judgment and time Babylon that mentioned in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Okay, so let me ask you this. The Babylon mentioned in chapter 17 and 18, is that the same Babylon as the King Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon? Yes, no?
Nope.
What is the Babylon, second Babylon in, mentioned in Revelation 17 and 18? Excellent point. World system. There will come a day when all wrong will be righted and all sins will be judged, and our ultimate judge will bring justice and equity to the earth. All right. Application. Don't look at the, what I wrote. That's my application. What kinds of application would you come up with? Praise the Lord with all your heart. And what else? That's a good one. Don't quench the spirit. In what way? What do you mean? More elaborate a little more. Okay? Okay. Before you go, we go there, Dana said, do not quench the spirit. That making you to sing to the Lord. Can we practice that this Sunday? Yes, no?
Yes.
That means you're going to sing loud? Come on, I'm asking you, answer me.
Yes.
I don't care what you do. Just don't bring the attention to yourself. As long as it's for God, I don't care what you do. Yes? Sure? Hold on, guys. Okay, thank you. Good one. Mikey. Yeah, it's not just, our worship does not stop it here. Yeah. Spirit-filled saint is a song-filled saint. Sing your praise to him daily. Don't worry about the quality of your voice. God gave you that quality of voice. If you're offbeat, fine. Make your song as the way you go. Yes. Yep. A lot of times, our mindset is like, I talk about our grandson again. One Christmas morning, they were going through the present, one after another, like a tornado. And then my grandson, Micah, said, is there more? That didn't settle with my daughter well. Do you know we are like that? We get all these blessings and then we say, is there more? If the Lord slapped us silly in the back of our head, most of the time we'll be on the ground. Yeah, we'll be bald. All right, chapter 99. Chapter 99, this is the sixth royal psalms, chapter 93, 90, and then 95 through 99. And of all which magnify the sovereign rule of the Jehovah the King. Like the chapter 93 and 97, it opens with the Lord reigns. And it emphasizes that the Lord is exalted above all nations and not just Israel. Psalmist described the throne of the Lord and encouraged the people to exalt the Lord and as they worship him. Since you guys read this portion, Observation 5W1H. Who? We don't know who the author of this psalm is. What? This psalm, without the title in the Hebrew text, is a three-time proclamation of God's holiness. This psalm is a three-time proclamation of God's holiness. Remember, I taught you one of the methods you should have is noticing repeated word. He is holy, he is holy, he is holy. Verse 3, verse 5, verse 9. So, the next W is where? We don't know, most likely Israel. Number 4, when? Again, we don't know, probably after the exile. Why? Because he's holy. Because our God is holy. Right? How? Recollecting how exalted and holy our God is. Recollecting how exalted and holy our God is. How profound is the reverence we owe him. How profound is the reverence we owe him. I heard from somebody saying, when he go to heaven, he's going to say, what's up, JC? I thought, no, you ain't going to. You're going to fall down flat on your face and worship him. By the way, when we get to heaven, we will notice Moses real quickly. He's the guy with a flat face. You know why? Because he fall flat on his face on earth often. Yeah. All right. Outlining. An awesome throne, 1 through 3. A just throne, 4 to 5. A glorious throne, 6 to 9. Let's look at it one at a time. Verse 1 of chapter 99. Now we're going through the interpretation. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Note that word. He dwells in between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. Let him praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Okay? Interpretation? What can you tell me? Okay, good. Awesome. And his presence, what? Okay. What else? We should be in awe of him. Excellent point. All right. Which portion of the Bible do remind you of when we read, he dwelled between the cherubim? Huh? Raise your hand. Talk to me. Mikey. Revelation. Where? Six cherubims. Yeah. Face of the lion, face of the one. Actually, the four cherubims. Face of the lion, ox, eagle, and human. All right, good. But I'm looking for two cherubim address. Okay. Exodus, when the God is giving the specification of how to build Ark of a Covenant. And he will make his presence known between the two cherubims, Ark of a Covenant. I'm looking for another one in the New Testament, not Revelation. Yes, you got to go. Remember after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Mary went inside, empty tomb. He couldn't find the body of the cloth is there in shell, and there's a two figured in white linen, sitting one at the head, one at the other end. It's signifying the mercy seat. Two cherubims, cherubim means angels, sitting on each end, and there's a Jesus' blood still lingering there. Blood of the Lamb sprinkled on top of the mercy seat. That's the very presence of God's mercy. Isaiah, that's good. Actually, it mentioned as well in Isaiah 33. But the one I was looking for, I want you to pay attention, is the empty tomb. Two angels. Our God sit on the throne in heaven. But during the Old Testament time, the Israelis could relay the idea of the Ark of the Covenant, where the two cherubim on the mercy seat and the Holy of Holies in the sanctuary of the Zion. It was there that God's glory rested. From there, God spoke to Moses and ruled the nation of Israel. God chose the Jews, to be his vehicle for telling the Gentile nation about the true and living God. And he chose the Mount Zion to be his dwelling place. God made his covenant with Israel alone, and they were his special people. When the Gentiles beheld what God did for Israel, they should have trembled with awe and put their trust in him. All right, verse 4 and 5. Just throne, a just throne. The king's strength also loved justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool. He is holy. While I was studying this portion, I started to sing. Old praise song, exalt the Lord on high, and worship at his feet, for he is holy. Remember that song? I'll spare you, but I'm not going to sing to you. Okay, give me the interpretation for this portion. Come on, read it again. God loves us justice. Good. What else? Why? Because he's just God. Yes, sir? In other words, God has no pet. Good. Just God. Hold on, guys. Above all, he's holy. Holy and just. Excellent. Though our God's dominion is absolute, cannot be controlled by anyone else, his power cannot be fought back, yet he does not abuse it to tyranny and oppression, as the leaders of the world commonly do, and he rules the universe with perfect righteousness. The more I think about God's perfect righteousness, and then compare that with people with a little bit of authority, a little bit of authority, and they will that thing, don't they? Making sure that you know that they are in charge. All right, in Scripture, footstool. When you hear the God's footstool, which one the Scripture is talking about, location-wise? Earth. Earth is his footstool. How about city name? City, name of the city, God's footstool. Huh? Jerusalem. How about the mount? Mount Zion. And also it referred as Ark of a Covenant, Sanctuary of God. And during the Solomon time, he made a footstool with the gold. Well, he had nothing but gold, right? Silver was considered as common during that time. And that's the place where they knelt before the King Solomon and showed the homage before him. And Ark in the sanctuary was his appointed throne. And then Jewish pilgrim came to Jerusalem and they worshipped him at his footstool, that is Jerusalem. All right, last portion is verse 6 through 9. Gracious throne. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar, and they kept his testimonies and ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God, you were to them the God who forgave. Though you took vengeance on their deed, exalt the Lord God, worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Okay? What do you see? God is what? God is not silent. Okay? What else? Forgiving God, good.
Yes.
Personal relationship with individual people. Okay? Okay. All right, let me ask you another question. How should we respond to this kind of God who sits on this kind of throne? Reverence and obedience. And exalt him. Okay? What else? What else? Love? Okay. Worship? Good. You know, this is my own opinion. It has nothing to do with anybody. The best definition of God's mercy is portrayed perfectly in verse 8. It says, you answered them, O Lord our God, you were to them God who forgives. Though you took the vengeance on their deed. Did you get that? God who forgive, you took the vengeance on their, it does not say, you took the vengeance on them. Why? Because God loves them, but he hates their deeds. God loves people. At the same time, God hates their sins. Lord our God took the vengeance on their deed, not on them, because he loved them, and he forgave them, and as was known as God who forgives. Often, Moses, Aaron, Samuel had to intercede for disobedient people of Israel, and the Lord heard them and answered them. God's gracious ministry his old covenant people and still available to his new covenant family. He speaks to us through his word, hears our prayers and answers, and disciplines us when we sin and forgives us when we confess. How many times the Lord forgave Israel and gave them another opportunity to serve them? How many times God has forgiven you and gave us another opportunity, another day to serve him? As I go to sleep, between my head going down and hitting the pillow, then I'm most of the time coma. I pray and thanking him. And when I wake up, before I get out of bed, I greet him, and I say that simple phrase, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And I ask the Lord, use me for your glory. Okay, let me say this. Let's think about the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. It's a kind of elongated this way, two squares side by side. As you walk into the Holy Behold, the tabernacle, are you guys cold? It's a meat. You walk in, there are three furnitures. Holy place have the three furnitures. As you face Holy Beholdies, on the right side, showbread table. There are 12 unleavened bread stacked up there, six on each side. And then on the left side, as you're looking at Holy Beholdies, you see the lampstand has 12 things sticking up. I don't know what you call it, sticks. Huh? Menorah, but actually menorah is a seven. It's the golden lampstand. And then right before you pass through the curtain, and there is another furniture. Do you, any of you guys remember that? Come on, it's about yay wide, yay low, about yay tall with a horn on each side. Incense altar. Behind the curtain, there is one furniture. What would that be? The Ark of Covenant. Remember, incense altar, where you ask God to forgive you, where the priest sprinkled the incense there. And as it burns, a sweet aroma goes up to God's nostril. That altar and where the Ark of Covenant, that is short distance. Before the showbread table, before the lampstand. Never forget it. Between God's judgment, between the throne and the altar, is short distance. Application. What can you make on the application here? God is just God. And worship him daily. He's worthy to be worshipped. Spirit and truth. They're all good. All right. We must worship him, praise and exalt him. Remember that he is holy. We must pray to him and seek his glorify his name by our obedience and service. All right, let's stand up and pray.